Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
This is the last of the three Haftorahs of rebuke, which is the...
We may need some more, though.
Shabbos Chazon. It's the Shabbos of the vision. There's an idea that even though these Haftorahs are harsh, the month that they fall in is called the month of Av, which means like a father. And Hashem rebukes us because he loves us and he feels that we could do better. And that's how we take the rebuke, that Hashem wants us to be better, and sometimes we need to think a little bit and to straighten out our ways. And so this is the beginning of, actually the end of the three Haftorahs. What's interesting is that this is Yeshayahu, who is considered the prophet of comfort. But even the prophet of comfort had also tried to prevent the destruction of the temple. And in order to, sometimes people need to be shocked a little bit. They need to really, they need to really think. So he's given a vision, and that's what a chazon is. A chazon is a word for like a harsh vision, like until they heard this, it didn't sound so bad. We're going to see, he's going to use some of the worst words. What's the worst thing you could tell a Jew? What's the worst, you could compare him to Sodom and Gomorrah? That's like the worst thing you could say about it. I mean, the contrast in the Chumash was that Avraham and Sarah were starting the religion of Hashem, a religion of kindness, a religion of love. And Sodom was the exact opposite. That was selfishness and people that lived for themselves, and they didn't allow guests, and they didn't allow charity, and so for us as a nation to be compared to Sodom, that's like the worst thing you could tell us. That was the shock, and it should be, because it should. We always look at ourselves that we're better than others. We are chosen. And then if in practice the poor aren't being taken care of, and the widow and the orphan, and there's not kindness and justice, then we got a big problem. And so that's going to come out here. And it begins with the following. Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amatz. This is the vision of Yeshayahu. One of the important messages is that we had different kinds of prophets. We had Yirmiyahu, and now we have Yeshayahu. Yirmiyahu was a Kohen. Was a priest, and that was more of a religious context. Yeshayahu was from the royal family. And a lot of times when people speak in front of the very powerful, they're afraid. They're afraid what to say. Those people have power over them. Yeshayahu, we're going to see, he was of a royal family. He wasn't afraid of anybody. He could go in and talk to the kings and tell them like it is. And that helped as far as the way his rebuke was received, because he was one of them. He was from the elite of the Jewish people. So this is a vision that was to Yeshayahu ben Amatz. I think we talked a little bit about this. Everybody calls it Yeshaya, but in the book of the prophets, it's actually Yeshayahu. You'll find a few prophets like that. It's really Hashem's name is added to their name. It's I don't know why sometimes we call people, today somebody's named Yeshayahu, they get called Shaya for short. But we say the Navi Yeshaya, but it's really Yeshayahu. That's the full, and you'll find that again with some, it's just a curious thing that we add Hashem's name. When they represent Hashem, they get those last two letters added to the name. So the vision of Yeshayahu ben Amatz, who was the son of, also his father was a prophet, Asher Chozo, what he saw. And at this point, the earlier prophets were trying to save the 10 tribes as well, but they're already gone. They're already lost. And so they were trying to save the remnant. If we remember, we're Jews. We're really just from Judah. More or less, we're what's left from the tribe of Judah. So he tried to save the tribe of Judah on Yehudah Yerushalayim, Bimei, and this he began his prophecy in the king of Uzziyahu, Yotam, and Ochaz, Yechizkiyahu, Melech Yehudah. So right away, what we're going to see, he uses a similar poetry to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu was the prophet, and he was the clearest prophet. And many of the prophets went in a pattern to, we talked last week how Yirmiyahu was similar to Moshe Rabbeinu, that just like Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want the job and said, well, I don't know what to say. So that was what Yirmiyahu, prophets were people like Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the prototype for prophet. So we'll see, he uses similar words. He brings the heavens and the earth into things, brings nature into things. And in Parshas Hazinu, Moshe Rabbeinu brings the heavens and the earth. You'll hear a similarity. Shamu Shamayim Vazinu Oretz. Let the heavens listen and let the earth listen. Ki Hashem Diber. And Hashem's going to say something. Diber is a strong, like, you know, I'm going to have a word with you. So Hashem says, Banim Gedalta, I raise my kids. Now, Gedalta doesn't mean just I raised them. It means I made them big. I gave them everything. I was Gedalta. I gave them wealth. I gave them beauty. I gave them honor. And I lifted them up. I gave so much to the Jewish people. And what happens? Behem Pishubi, and they rebel against me. You know, can you imagine that? Like a parent understands that, you know, sometimes parents do a lot for kids and they don't, kids don't always recognize that. And so that's the, Hashem references that. We have to take it in a good way. We're Hashem's children, you know. Hashem gave us everything and we sometimes rebel against him. Verse 3. This is like really an insult. In a certain way, it's saying that even an animal knows more than we do sometimes. An animal has an instinct to recognize its master. That's the Yoda Shor Konehu. An ox, you know, it knows its master. But Chamor, a donkey apparently isn't so smart. It can't really tell its master, but it knows where it eats. That much it knows. That if you have a whole bunch of feeding troughs, apparently it knows which one to go to. I was reading apparently oxen, they put them all out to pasture and then they open up the gate and they know where to go. Like they know they can find their place or their stall or their, there's a certain elementary knowledge that creatures have as when they're being fed. I went not that long ago to the aquarium, all the tricks the animals do are just for food. You know, they're always throwing those fish in the mouths of the, if you ever watch, that's the whole, you know, that's everything. They try to make it so you don't notice it so much, but that's, they're just, you know, every time a fish does something good, it gets a little, you know, the animals, they know who's feeding them. But Yisrael lo yada, the Jewish people, even the Israel, even the in a high stage, they don't know me. I'm me, and they're my people. And again, you have to know how to read this. Hashem isn't rejecting us. We're still I'm me, his people. But he says the problem is lo his bonan. This word bina means we don't think. You know, we don't add things up. Bina means taking something and using that information, not letting it go in one ear and out the other. It's very interesting. The word bina comes from the word bona, to build. They say actually that women are stronger than men in taking information and using that information. In other words, there's different kinds of wisdom, and one kind of wisdom is taking information and knowing what to processing it, knowing what to do with that information, going to the next step. And the Gemara says that women have bina yisera; they have unusual more than men. It has to do with the psukim in Bereishis, where it says when he created woman, it says vayiven, that he put a certain extra knowledge that into women that it doesn't say by men. And that's why men, some certain things, they're clueless. You know, it just takes us a little while longer to. But we all have bina, which means we all have to think a little bit. And he says it's not that we don't know; it's lo his bonain. We don't think. We don't. What does he call this? He just says my people does not perceive. But it's this word of bina, and that's why the Kollel calls the women's learning bina. That's just they picked the name out. But people need to think a little bit. And it's not that we don't know; we just don't. We don't think about things. So that's what he says. The problem. There was a movement in Europe, the Musar movement, where they used to have places where people could go to think. They had like Musser houses where people would go and just try to think and try to... people, they're just so busy. It's like you forget to tie your shoes, you know. The people, they forget to think. And it's useful just to say, you know, all right, you know, where am I going in life? Am I meeting my goals? Am I accomplishing things? To some extent, prayer helps us with that a little bit. You know, when we pray, we're supposed to organize our thoughts a little bit about thinking, you know, the things we're supposed to... But today, people are so busy with their cell phones and other things, they sometimes just don't think. They just keep on moving. They just keep on, they're playing Pokemon or whatever that is. But my people doesn't think. Now he gives ahoy. Ahoy is like a woe. It's a moaning. He's going to make a statement that's hard to say, and that's called ahoy. He has a few of those. It's like woe. Hoy, woe, goy chota. So he says the Jewish nation is a nation that is chota. Now, chet means to sin, but it means it's sinning by mistake. In other words, it means they're going in the wrong direction. Chota means like my people has sinned. Now, anybody can make a mistake. In fact, we're humans. That's the Torah describes that the Adam and Eve, the first thing they do, they're given one mitzvah, they blow it. But that's part of life, is that we make mistakes. But when you repeat mistakes, then it gets much worse. So like anybody can make a mistake, but kavod avam means like the sins are become heavy because they keep on doing them. Okay, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Fine, so don't do it again. No problem. You do it again. What do you mean you're sorry? You did it. Yes, you just did it. Do it again. You know, it's a mistake. If you do it so many times, it's not a mistake anymore because you could have avoided it this time. So that's he starts off the goy chote, they sinned, but then it became heavy. Zer mireim. And they are children of iniquity. Means that they, the word rea, it should be that we should start off from the beginning in a good way. The greatest praise of Avraham Avinu was that he trained his children from the beginning to do kindness and to serve Hashem. And he's saying the Jewish people now are raising their kids not in a good way. Banim mashkisim. The children are being destroyers. In Yiddish, they would call that a mazik. A lot of in the old Yiddish sometimes they call people. It's not very nice to call a child a mazik, but they don't mean anything bad by it. It's just in common Yiddish that became what you see a little kid and you call him, oh, he's a mazik.
Not like a devil, but not in a bad way.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly it. The people say that, you little devil, but whatever. Certain kids you feel like they're in an age where everything they come in contact with, they make a mess, they run into, they cause trouble. And, you know, look, they're just a little child, God bless them, you know, so to speak. But maybe not, you know, you don't want to have to take care of them, but you don't want to have to, you know, but that he's describing the Jewish people, they're banim mashkisim, they're kids that are, they're destroying everything they come in contact to. And asu es Hashem, and they rejected Hashem. Here it's just interesting. You know, the big punishment we had in the last century was the Nazis. Here the Hebrew word used to describe the rebelling of the Jewish people is Natsu. Isn't that interesting? It sounds like Nazi. Natsu.
Yeah.
It's a Natsu is Kaddish Israel. And again, Hashem praises us. We're the Holy One of Israel, but we've rejected that. We're turning away from our holiness. Nazaracha, we've gone back. So, that's the problem. That's the worst of the rebuke. Verse 5. Almad taku od. Now, the Jewish people, Hashem has smitten us, so to speak, and he's punished us for our sins. And there's like nothing left to punish. To see for sir, kol rosh, every head is sick, the kol lev, and every heart is full of worry. The destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and the removal of the Shekhinah, that was pretty strong. We're no longer healthy. Every person has a. It's interesting how he says like a heart has a worry, a davai. Every heart is worried. In English, he says pain, but the Hebrew word davai is really like a like a worry, like a, when people have that pang in their heart, that's the worst thing is when people are, his heart is filled with worry, like, you know, it's supposed to be, sometimes a person carries a burden and their heart is filled with a worry. Mikaf rego ad rosh, from head to toe, ein bo misim, there's nothing perfect. Petza, here he might be describing the Jewish people, like the body of the Jewish people. You can't find anywhere that's, sometimes if you have one part that's healthy, so you can build from there. And so he says, you know what? You look at the Jewish people, there's nothing healthy. Chabura, maka, tria, lozor, velochavshu. And sometimes if you have a wound, you can medicate it, you can bandage it. He said the Jewish people is a bunch of festering wounds. They used to, I don't know what they put the oil for, but that was also part of the healing. They had healing oils or something. And so he's just saying, like, the Jewish people is like wounded, and there's no cure in sight. Verse 7, Artzachem Shemama. Its land is desolate. That's the word Shemama. Desolate is Shomim. Arechem srufos eish. The cities are burned with fire. Ad muskem lenegdechem zorim ochlim osa. Strangers are living in our lands. Boy, we can relate to that. Just go to Yerushalayim and look up at the coastal and you see strangers in our lands, right? That's the, it's painful. It's painful to see other people in your, in those days, if you were a farmer and you, worked and you planted a crop and you plowed, and then somebody else comes in and eats your crop. That's like a, that's what it says. Strangers are eating our what we work to build. Shmama kafei chazarim. It's all being overturned by strangers. Verse 8. Venostra basion, and the daughter of Zion, kasuka bekar. Most people say this refers to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is sometimes called the daughter of Zion. That's the name of the city of Yerushalayim. But the Jewish people is like, in the when people would go out to harvest, so in order that they didn't have to travel far from their workplace, they would have a little hut, like a sukkah, they would live in a little hut while they do the picking. So this way, first thing in the morning, they'd be there, they wouldn't waste time, and they could. In the off season, those huts are like these little abandoned huts. He's describing the Yerushalayim is like a shell, is like an abandoned sukkah. Sukkah is not very glamorous, not very glorious. It's not what instead of a palace, it's like this, the daughter of Zion is like a tiny shell. But Makusha v'ir Netzura, and, the city was under siege. Now, at that time, things could still have been prevented. There was the Jewish people had been, the cities had been overrun. Basically, Yerushalayim was the main place that was still around. Verse 9, Lule Hashem Tzvakos Hosir Lanu Sarid. He said, if Hashem didn't leave us a remnant. And again, we go through this where we have these holocausts, so to speak, or these punishments, and there's just a remnant left. And the fact that there's a remnant is amazing. If it wouldn't be that Hashem left us a remnant, there wouldn't be anything left. So this is where he makes the ultimate threat. Kamat Kistom Ayinu Lamora Deminu. And you know what? We're almost like Sodom and Amora. So the rabbis say a famous rule from here. I believe it's even brought in a Gemara. It says, Al tiftach pe l'satan, which means don't open your mouth to the Satan, which means don't say something that doesn't sound good. For example, in the Gemara, there's a whole sefta that deals with shechting, how to shecht an animal. So you're not supposed to demonstrate on your neck. You know, like... And there are people who say, oh, just like over here, you know, you're not supposed to... and a person, sometimes people in modern life, they'll talk about, you know, they might die or they might, you know, they might drop dead. And you would say, chas v'sholem, don't talk that way. But we would say, al tiftach pe l'satan, we don't need to give any recommendations. When we believe words are real. And so we don't say, we develop a custom where they like that when somebody has cancer, we don't even want to say that name. Because it's like it used to be a death sentence. There are different kinds of cancer. Some of them still are. Some people can get better. But people got used to not saying he has cancer. Why? Because we don't even want to say somebody has a death sentence hanging over them. Because maybe it won't be, maybe it won't happen, maybe it won't be, maybe it'll get cured, maybe it'll... But we try not to say things, anything harsh. Even if we think it will happen, We try not to talk that way. We call it opening the mouth to the Satan. We don't. We prefer not to talk that way. So what happened was Yeshayahu. The prophets have some options to choose words. So when Hashem was saying, you know, the Jewish people are really bad. So he said, you know what? Let's say they're almost as bad as Sodom. And what's going to happen is, in the next minute, God said, "Oh, you want to compare them to Sodom? So let's call them Sodom." You know, that's and the next prophecy he's going to mention, call the Jewish people as bad as Sodom. He started off, but he shouldn't have mentioned it. He shouldn't have said, "You're almost as bad as Sodom." You know, it's like we don't do that. We don't say the worst. We try not to say it. Words are too important. They're too powerful. Even though we're looking for we just don't talk that way. And then the next line, verse 10, Shamu Dvar Hashem Ketzine Sodom. The idea of Sodom, by the way, was that if they only had a few righteous people, they would have been saved. Right? If there's a, and so we became like Sodom. We only had, but we had enough that we're saved. Shamu Dvar Hashem Ketzine Sodom. Hashem compared us to Sodom. Hezina Toras Elokeinu Am Amora. Like the people of Sodom and Amora. Okay. Verse 11. Now comes the surprise, which is the people were observant. They kept the by and large the people kept Shabbos and they kept kosher. And I remember when I was a little kid in my city, the people were not very religious. They really didn't. You didn't really wear a yarmulke outside. You know, if you wore a yarmulke outside shul, it means you forgot to take it off. People would, you know, hey, you forgot to put it back in. It was like you were stealing from the shul, right? That was the, and so that's just where I grew up. And so I remember going to a baseball game and seeing religious children wearing yarmulkes, and I thought, wow, those are like little angels. They sit there with their hands folded all day long, and they're wearing yarmulkes outside. They must be like, if that's what they do, then they must be perfectly behaved. And then, because I thought if you wear a yarmulke, that means that you're like super super holy roller, you know, you really got it made. But sometimes people can do external mitzvahs, which are good things, but they're still missing the boat. I talk about with the two tablets. It's a very basic part of Judaism that there's mitzvahs between man and God and mitzvahs between man and man, and just like. If you just do the mitzvahs between man and man, you're kind, you're good, you help others, but you don't do the mitzvahs between man and God. You know, you don't keep the Sabbath, you don't keep kosher, you don't support the Jewish community. So you're not doing Judaism. But so too, if you only keep the mitzvah between man and God, and you're not a good neighbor, and you're not a friend, and you're not helpful, and not loving, and you're not kind, that's also not Judaism. Judaism is both. And so he's going to mention here that the people were outwardly observant. And Hashem says, I don't need that observance. If you don't love each other, you don't care for each other, then you're missing the boat. And so sometimes the people are observant and they fool themselves and they say, well, I work so hard to keep kosher, I work so hard to keep Shabbos, so you want me to be nice also? You want me not to be arrogant? You want me to? That's so hard. That's the package. That's what's got to. It's got to come together. And so that's what Hashem says over here. Hashem, in those days, people would act the way they wanted, and they just made sure to bring a lot of offerings. You know, they had. So Hashem said, "I don't need your offerings. Lumberly robes. What do you think? I need them? I don't need them. Yomar Hashem. So I'm satisfied. I need these big fat cows and the big fat bikvashim and tutim. I don't desire them." Hashem says. Verse 12, and people would come to Hashem's house. They go to synagogue. They must be good. He says, Hashem says, Kisavu l'ruas panei, when you come to see me, I'm not interested in seeing you. I never asked for this. Because Judaism is the package. You can't do part some things and not others. The mi bikesh shows, did I ask for this? Don't come anymore. Lo sesifu havi min kashav. Don't waste your time bringing flower offerings and incense. Hashem says, Toevahi, it's disgusting. And he says, well, what do we keep the Sabbath? We don't work on the Sabbath. We have a lot of challah. We eat, you know, Chodesh Shabbos. Kor mikra l'ucha oven. Hashem says, it's not going to help. Verse 14, Chodshechem mogdechem sina nafshi. See, we forget that the mitzvahs are here to help make us better people. And Hashem said, your holidays, now they celebrated Rosh Chodesh. It's a lost art. We talked about this before, I think, that we really, when the Jewish people was a nation, Rosh Chodesh was a holiday that was distinct and had its own way of celebrating. And today we do add a few extra prayers, and that's really about it. But it is a holiday. It is a special day, and some people work hard to try to make it a special day. But it's Hashem says, "Kodeshchem, your Rosh Chodeshes and your holidays." Tana Nafshi. To me, they're I don't like them. Laila Torah, and you know what? You're troubling me with your prayers. Verse 16. We some people, they have a very, they think that they're doing Hashem a favor by coming to synagogue. You know, Hashem says, don't do me any favors. That's not how we're at it. I mean, we need to come to synagogue. And I suppose I'd rather somebody do Hashem a favor than not do Hashem a favor. But the attitude is wrong. It's just the wrong way of looking at it. Verse 16. Parsham b'kapeyam. Now the Kohanim, they hold out their arms to bless the people. That was part of the daily service. And the people, when the Kohanim bless the people, that protects the people. That's the part of the Birkas Kohanim, is that Hashem should watch over them and keep them and keep them at peace. So why wasn't it working? So Hashem says, when the Kohanim spread out their hands, I'm hiding my eyes. I'm not even listening to your prayers. Why? Because yadechem damim, your hands are full of blood. In the same hands that are supposed to reach out and protect others and help others are used to harm others. He says they're full of blood. The rule is, if a Kohen has killed someone, even by mistake, they can't do the Birkas Kohanim. They no longer can be the vehicle to bless the people. 16. What do you need to do? How can we fix this? So, rachatsu, we got to wash away the bad stuff. We got to clean ourselves off. If you're doing evil, you got to get rid of the evil. You can't, doing good doesn't cancel evil. In other words, if a person is doing something bad and he feels guilty and then he wants to do something good, but you've got to stop doing the bad. You can't just say, okay, someone's doing something wrong. Okay, he'll give a little tzedakah. You gotta stop doing the bad. You gotta discontinue the bad things that are in front of you. Kod Horaz, stop. This really in 16 is where he says it. He says, desist from doing evil. Don't bring me another korban. Don't bring me a fat cow. Don't bring me a ram. You're gonna keep your Shabbos. You're gonna come to my temple. Wonderful. You're gonna pray. Hashem says, stop doing bad. Stop hurting people. Stop being a bad person. Stop, that's the only way. You can't just be a bad person and bring offerings. That's not going to work. Lamdu heitiv. You have to learn to do good. You have to teach yourself. And this is, sometimes it doesn't come automatically. You have to work at it to learn to do good. Lamdu heitiv. Learn to do good. And justice isn't what happens automatically. Sometimes you have to look to make sure justice. Dirshu means to seek it out. Dirshu mishpat. There's a movement called Dirshu. It's a group in Canada that's designed to help people do different learning programs. And they chose the name Dirshu. It's just the word. The word Dirshu means to seek out. So they thought that was a nice name for. So sometimes you'll hear the word Dirshu. It's a great movie. There's a wealthy Canada, for whatever reason, they have a lot of wealthy people in Canada. I don't know what that is. There's a wealthy person in Canada who wanted to get people to study certain texts and to create a movement within the people to be more aware of certain things. The name of the movement is called Dirshu. And he's made quite an effect within the Jewish world. It's very impressive what that movement has done. For a while there was a Dirshu group in Atlanta. There hasn't been lately, as far as I know. But you may run across. You'll see the word. They publish a halacha sheet or a newsletter. It's just interesting, that word. But the word itself is a great word. Dirshu means to seek it out. You got to seek out things. Dirshu mishpat, seek out justice. Ashru chametz help the victim. Help the people that are harmed. Shiftu yasum, and make sure that the orphans get justice. What would happen was that when somebody passed away, the orphans would inherit the family business, and people would take advantage of them. They would claim, oh, your person's father owed them money, and it really, you know, that tractor over there really belonged to me. And the, what do the orphans know? They were just kids, and nobody would stand up for them. People need, it's unfortunate in our society that we live in a society where people need someone to stick up for them. And some people don't have that. So you have to look out for people that need someone to stick up for them. And you got to be that person. That's the, you got to look for the orphan. You got to look for the widow. The widow also, the, she used to have a husband. She was used to having someone who would stick up for her, and now she doesn't. So go seek out these people, the orphan, the widow, the victim, and they need your help. They need somebody to stick up for them. Okay. Verse 18. So Hashem, now it's already, the tone already is becoming more productive, as you can see as we get through the Haftorah. It's like, all right, you know, this is what we need to do. Like, this is how we fix things. You know what? Let's have a talk. You know, we can, let's do this together, Yom Hashem.
He says, please.
Oh, he says, please. Oh, okay. Good. Oh, he said it here. Who says, please?
Isn't the na?
Yeah, but in the English he doesn't. Reason together. Your English says, please?
I don't know. I was looking, I'm happy I looked at the Hebrew.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it does say please. Yeah. I don't know why they don't say. We talked about this last week,
yeah,
but it does again.
But it's translated as now, and not null, mean either please or now.
I believe so. Yeah,
yeah,
I think
well,
so.
Yeah, it's translated as now.
I like please better.
Yeah.
It's encouraging, you know?
I'll have to look into that, why they did that, or maybe I'll even try to email them why they're the... but okay. So he said, we have to have a talk, please, or now. I think they're related. They both mean a certain sense of urgency, but please means, come on, you know, let's... Yom Hashem, imu katechem. Now, what do we do if we've sinned? And sin is described like red-handed, like they're bloody red. What do you do if you're red-handed, you're bloody? It's a description of, like, you know, we're dirty with sin. Sin, we believe sin creates a stain. A person who's sinned, they're stained. It's like they're dirty clothing. So Hashem says, no problem. Kashel, you mean we can make it white. Don't think because you've goofed, because you've done wrong, you're filthy, you can't get it clean. We can get you clean. Imedima katola, we can get you back to the pure wool. But you got to want. Verse 19. Im tovu, if you want. You got to want to do better. Shematem, and you got to hear. Shematem, too. Or Tzokelu. And you'll still, if you listen, everything will be good. You'll get the good of the land. Verse 20. But what happens if you don't listen and you don't want? Uh-oh. Imtimasu, imtimanu, if you refuse. Umarisem, and you rebel. Cherev tochlu, then you'll be eaten by the sword. Kipi Hashem diber, that's the word of Hashem. So that's a... it's a pretty strong choice that he paints for the people. He tells them what they got to do and what how they need to go. Now we have another one. Some people suggest this is why this is read the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av for the next word, which is Eicha. And Eicha is the book we read on Tisha B'Av. And this was Yeshayahu used this word Eicha. Like Eicha doesn't translate. It means that there's a question. Like, how could it be? How could it be? How did it happen? Like, that's the Eicha. It's just incredible. Like, how did this happen? Sometimes a person has to ask themselves, like, what happened here? Like, that's the Eicha. The Eicha is supposed to be a wonder. How could this be? There's something wrong here. The person has to shake their head. What's going on? So that's what Eicha is. And what he wonders over here is that the Jewish people, he gives a metaphor. We were always considered like the loyal spouse of Hashem, like somebody who was loyal and somebody who was dependable and reliable. And so, Eicha Haisa Lazonik here, how the Jewish people became like a harlot, somebody who was not loyal, somebody who was cheating, somebody who was worshipped, took in strange suitors. And the Jewish people was Kiryat Ama. There was nobody more dependable than the Jewish people. You know, when it wasn't that long, maybe we're just getting old, where people used to say Jews don't drink, Jews aren't violent, right. Jews aren't... And now it's like there's no... you see all the problems that you see in the world. We used to compare ourselves to the Poles. I guess the Poles, when you compare Jews to Poles, you know, drunken Poles, it was Jews were like this paragon. We are so mixed into society that it's hard to say that the Jews are any better, or at least not unless they're trying to be better. And so that's a wonder. How could it be? We're descendants of Avraham. Our parents and our forefathers, they worked so hard to teach us the right way. And for centuries, and we've risked, we've been persecuted for it. And so how could it be that in a short amount of time, we just, we became like unreliable, undependable. And Kiryat Neman and Malaysia, this was a city that was full of justice. In the tabernacle, almost everybody was a judge, if you'll notice. There was enough, every 10 people, there was a per every 100 people, every 10 people, you had somebody who was, had the law book there. Like everybody was trying to do what was right. So Yerushalayim was known for a city where there was justice and righteousness. And the Gemara says that on the Sabbath, even people that lied during the week wouldn't lie on Shabbos. Because the holiness of the Shabbos was such that you always had people that bend the truth, but they couldn't bring themselves to lie on the Shabbos. You know, it was like but Yerushalayim was that kind of city where the presence of Hashem made it. It was a city of justice and righteousness. And what's there now? Atam Meratzkim, a bunch of murderers. Most people say there's two views about this. Some is that there were only a few people, but it was tolerated by others. In the Gemara, we find that people embarrassed each other, and that's compared to murder. If you look at Josephus, there were a lot of murderers. There were different factions in the city, and they did murder each other. If you look in Josephus,
that was part of the people with plagues and all, because they allowed things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back like to the beginning.
But not murder. The part of the shock when they killed Rabin was that Jews don't. We can disagree with each other. We can yell at each other. That's all. That's old fashioned. But murder was just not our thing. It was like but it is. That's technically what it means over here. Maratsky means they're murderers. Now, the Jewish people is a product. When somebody has money, sometimes people have money that they had impurities in it. They would take silver and they would put cheaper metals in it. So the old days, people used to put the coin in their mouth to like chomp on it and bite it to see. There's a lot of germs in it. But that's how you would tell. And so the Jewish people now were compared to a coin that wasn't pure. It was a... it's become dross. I don't know, is that how you pronounce that word? Dross? I don't use it today, so I don't know what that... But it means instead of being like pure gold, we're like, cheapo, dross. Kaswas ging, subl mol b'mayim. And, instead of the wine being good, it's mixed with water. You have like good wine, instead you got water in there. So reha sorin. Now, the other thing was, it's you always have criminals in a society, but what about the better people? What about the leaders? So then he says, guess what? So recha, your officers, sorin. Oh, they're wayward. They turn away. The chavri ganavim, and they're all a bunch of crooks, like politicians. Like that's a curse in the society when all the politicians are crooks. That's awful. Unfortunate that we live in a time where we have to decide which is the least crook to vote for, right? Isn't that terrible? We have to make...
Yeah.
And really, that's what it boils down to, that they're which one is the chaver ganav and kula over, and they all love bribes. And what is it they're busy with? They're all running after taxes. Shalmonim, yasim lo isha. The orphans don't get justice. The widows don't get... They don't even... They don't want to help anybody. They just want to help themselves. They're in it for themselves. Verse 24. Therefore, l'chein nu madan Hashem svakos aber Yisrael. Therefore, this is what Hashem says. The Jewish people, if they don't fix themselves, they're going to be punished by our enemies. But Hashem says, I'm going to punish those that hurt you. The people that do, that harm the Jewish people, they will be harmed. But you'll go through a time where I'll have to fix you. And we learned from the time of Haman that it says that more Jewish people did teshuvah when the Haman's decree was over us than when things were good. Unfortunately, when we have a danger or a fear, sometimes that's what's needed. So Hashem says, I'm going to bring my hand over you and I'm going to fix you. Apparently, the way to fix metal that has impurities is to put it through the fire and the impurities melt away. So Hashem was saying, I'm going to refine you. I'm going to put the Jewish people through the exile. And the impurities will melt away. What's interesting is we had a lot of sects, The Christians and the Karaites and the Sadducees and the Sadducees. And these different groups, but somewhat today, like we have Reform and Conservative, people that have groups that are alien to Judaism. And we're plagued by them. In other words, there's so many good people that would find their way back if you didn't have all these strange movements that get in the way and put false ideas out there. And when we were a nation, we had plenty of these. There were Essenes. They have these groups that would go out into, in the desert. They do all kinds of strange things. Part of the Hanukkah story was there were Jews that helped the Greeks, Hellenists. We've often been our own worst enemy. But when we went through the exile, they melted away. They went lost. We were able to, they didn't stick with us, these different, and it's always been part of that pattern that when, we had people in Egypt who were, more Egyptian than they were Jews, they stayed behind. So Hashem says, I'm going to put you through the ringer, so to speak, and, then everything, I'll remove all the base metal, all of the parts, the different movements and the different groups that clung to you. We're going to have to get rid of them, but it's not a pleasant process. You have to burn it out. Vashiv shvatecha, and the first step is to bring our judges back to make sure there's justice. V'yoatzecha, and your advisors, just like they used to be. And you should never think again. Should never think that things are bad and they'll always be bad. Hashem says, no, we're coming back. The Jewish people is the great comeback kid of the world. We're always coming back. Listen, we came back after 2,000 years. Like, no one should ever give up on it. You know, it's like the history has given up on us many times. But we're coming back. And Hashem says, if you read, oh, look what Hashem says about us. We're all ganavim. We're all robbers. We're all... Hashem says, you know what? You're coming back, and it's going to be a righteous city. Kiryat Nemana, and it's going to be come back. How are we going to make that transformation? A lot of people in their speeches will use this word to finish their speech, because this is how the prophet Yeshayahu finished his speech, and that is, we want the Mashiach to come, so how are we going to get there? So, Siyan b'mishpat tzipada, Zion will be redeemed with justice, meaning that people, no more robbery and no more taking what doesn't belong, and it'll be redeemed with justice, v'shaveha, and we will come back b'tzdaka, with tzedakah, with helping, with righteousness, with kindness. And Mirtz Hashem, hopefully soon, and then we can start celebrating Tisha B'Av instead of having to worry about it.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.